version of this. Come on Tuesday nights because we're digging very deep. We've got more than the shovel out. We got two or three plows and we're plowing through it, and it's really, really been good. And plus we get a chance to talk back and forth. It's a two-way conversation on Tuesday nights. And some nights we just actually, once we got going, we just set this down and let the conversation go. Just let it keep going. And it has been so inspiring and so life-changing. It's been amazing what the Lord does on Tuesday nights. So you want to come be a part of it. Plus, on Tuesday nights, we get a chance to eat. Okay? And a couple of Tuesday nights ago, Melissa brought some chicken with some Goya seasoning on it. And I'm learning all this stuff now because I'm out buying this stuff and using it. But that's the only night I ever pray for nobody else to come in. I saw how many pieces of chicken was there. And she made enough for about 30 people, and there weren't 30 people. And I said, Lord, let the people stop now. You know how Moses, when Moses was building the temple, he said, okay, we got enough, stop. Y'all stop giving, we got enough. I've never heard other preachers say that. We got enough, stop giving. Okay, but that night I did say, Lord, don't let anybody else come in. Bar the doors in case they do. Amen. Give me some more chicken. Amen. So then I went out and cooked my own chicken and pork chops, even put it on shrimp. I'm telling you what, it'd make a bishop kick out a stained glass window. They had to hold my leg while I was eating that chicken. All right, ready? All right, here we go. Survey ask. Ready? Now, you ain't got to look at anybody. Please don't look at anybody. Just think about yourself, okay? And think about it honestly. Have you gone as far as you can go? Have you taken all that you can take? Have you given all that you can give? If you answered yes to one or more, especially all three of those questions, welcome to the world of running on fumes. I can promise you, more than likely, you are mentally, physically, even spiritually exhausted. And we can't help getting there because the way life is. Life is coming to us very fast now. There's things coming, you know, just a couple of months ago, the economy was doing great. Everything was looking good. And here come COVID-19. And so here we are with COVID-19, and things are rough with COVID-19. And we're just about the time we're getting adjusted to COVID-19. Then comes the protest, and the protests turn into riots, and the riots turn into all kinds of stuff. And it's just been crazy. Every night when I turn on the television, now it's to the point where I'm thinking, you know, they're even burning Bibles in the street now. Okay, you're thinking that this ain't can't get us? They're burning Bibles in the street. Okay, they're burning religious statues and breaking into churches. So know that this is not all about what it originally was. Now you got anarchy trying to take over. And you got to watch out because it's going to get worse. That's why we, the church, has to stand up and let our voices be heard, because everybody else's voices are either fueled by knowledge or fueled by hate. Ours will be fueled by the power of God and His anointing and His love. So you got to let your voices be heard. We make a difference. Tell somebody, you make a difference. Tell somebody, you make a difference. Amen. Okay, so here we go. Again, I'm just trying to, I'm just hitting some highlights here. There's Elijah. That's a modern day Elijah under the juniper tree. Okay? So here we go. The danger of running on fumes is fumes lead to burnout. If you're on fumes, you're going as far as you can go and you're trying to make it to the station and pretty soon, when you're burning out the fumes, going to the fumes, you start burning out and critical stuff that you need to move on and have in you starts burning out. And once it burns out and gets all clogged up, it leads to brokenness. And brokenness drives depression. So as a counselor and as a pastor and as just hearing people talk in checkout lines or hearing people talk on television, hearing people wherever on building lives for the kingdom, people are getting depressed. This is a very depressing time, but we don't have to give in to the depression. We are children of Almighty God. We've got the answer. God has got us. He's lifted us up. God knows many times we're running on fumes, but God knows that He's got the answer. Trust Him right now. Amen. Look at somebody and say, trust Him. Hey, this is the year of the perfect storm. The global pandemic, the global unrest, plus on our own personal challenges. You know, some folks lost their jobs. Some folks are trying to go back to work. Some folks are working, but whoever they're working around, you got to wear your mask. And there's so many ifs, ands, and buts. It is really, really confusing sometimes to even try to figure out what to do tomorrow as we're moving forward, as God is moving with us. So here it is. This is the last script, the last slide from the last couple of weeks. In the beginning of this chapter, and I'm not going to get into it. Come on Tuesday night, you want to really get into it. But Elijah was running on feelings. He was running on a spiritual high, because when you get on a spiritual high, it also makes your feelings feel good. Okay, 1 Kings 18. He had built the altar. God had called fire down. God had done it. He took in care, killed the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and also he finally saw rain after 3.5 years of drought, the size of a man's hand, and he girds up his loins and outruns the king's chariot 20 miles to get back to the palace. So he's on a spiritual high. How many here's ever been on a spiritual high? Amen. All of us could say yes to that. But once he gets there, now he finds out that Jezebel, out of all these people and all this stuff he did, now he's on a spiritual low, because she says, I'm going to kill him tomorrow like he's killed all of my people. And now he's not running on feelings, he's running on fear. He's on a spiritual low. This time he's running, but he's running on fear. Now, once he gets going, he is physically, spiritually, emotionally exhausted. So now he's running on fumes. Spiritual exhaustion. 1 Kings 19, 4 and 5. We just read it. He's out of gas. He's done. He's had all he can take and then some. Here's the man that's running for his life, and he stops and says, now, I'm running for my life, God, kill me. Huh? I'm afraid I'm going to die, so I'm going to run, so God, kill me. It doesn't make sense. But when you get to this point, actually, you'll do a lot of things that do not make sense. Okay? So again, this is the point he was at. So now here's the question. How did he get past, I got nothing left? How did he get past this point? Somebody in here, if everybody would be honest, then don't raise your hands, but if everybody be honest, I can tell you how many hands. I can give you a percentage of how many hands would raise if I said how many are here today and say I've got nothing left, or in the last week I've said I've got nothing left, or just recently you could say, okay, God, I've got nothing left. I can promise you with 100% assurance that 100% of the hands would raise. Amen? If your hands aren't raised, it's because what have you taken? I'd like to have some. Because every time I turn on the TV, I get upset, I get angry, and I see fear trying to grab a hold of me every time I turn on the television. Who thought it would be good news, that they're opening up some schools, but they're opening up halfway, and who think it'd be good news that we're wearing masks now? A couple of months ago, that wouldn't have been good news. It'd have been horrible. But I'd rather hear that than 25 police were shot last night, and a precinct was busted into with the police there, and there was fire thrown on it, and the police station was lit up. Yeah, it's crazy. I hear the people talking. They interview the people at these cities, and they go, "Man, this is like a war zone." This is like being in Afghanistan. Some of the guys that have been in Afghanistan said, this is worse than being in Afghanistan. Worse? Wow. And this is in our cities. We can cover our eyes. We can get into bed and cover our head and say it ain't happening. It's happening. And if we don't stand up as the church with the anointing of God on our life and the wisdom of God to know how to handle it, they'll be knocking on our door. There's guys that stood outside churches and humiliated people and roughed them up before they went inside the church. And this is just happening. Now's the time for the church to be the church. But it's kind of hard if you're running on fumes. How do you stand up when you already give all you got? How do you give when you don't have anything else to give? How do you stand when you feel like laying down? What do you do? I'm glad you asked that question. What did Elijah do to get beyond the fumes? Now, Elijah thought it was the end of his life. Elijah really thought that Jezebel was going to kill him because she kept her promises. He thought Jezebel was going to kill him, so actually I reckon in his depressed mind running on fumes, it would be better for God to take his life. At least that would be merciful compared to what she would do, because she would make it horrible upon him. So what did he do to get past all of this? What did he do to get some go back in his tank? How did he get his get up and go to get beyond got up and went? What did he do? Watch this. This is really, it sounds too simple. Have you ever asked for the solution and it was so simple you go, why didn't I think of that? You know, I remember on the Wizard of Oz when they were talking about Dorothy, she could just click her heels and she could go away. She could go the whole time. She just needed to learn some lessons. And the Scarecrow said, well, why couldn't I have thought of that with my brain? Nothing had changed with the Scarecrow. He just got a diploma. Wow. Nothing's changing out there, but we got God. Okay, we got Him. So here we go. Here we go. Number one. Fresh provision. The Bible says he was exhausted. I'm just going to read another version, kind of taking it down a little bit. He was exhausted. He fell asleep under the actually it's called a broom tree. He fell asleep under the juniper tree or the broom tree. And suddenly an angel shook him and said, get up and eat. And he looked around to his surprise. Right by his head was a loaf of bread baked on some coals and a jug of water. He ate the meal and went back to sleep. The angel of God came again and said, shook him awake again and said, get up and eat some more. You got a long journey ahead of you. Let me one more. And he got up and ate and drank his fill, and now he sets out. Let's just stop it right there for a minute. I remember as a young Christian, I just kept taking it on and more stuff on and more stuff on and more stuff on and more stuff on. And I had all these people tell me, you better watch out, son. I said, why? They said, because you're going to burn out. And I said, watch this. I'd rather burn out for Jesus than rust out for the world. Didn't that sound spiritual? Man, I thought I was, man, that was just hot. I mean, I'd rather burn out for God than rust out for sitting on my couch. And then it hit me one day, dude, when you burn out, no matter why you burn out, you burn out. You burn out for Jesus, you burn out for the world. It don't matter. Once you burn out, you're burnt out. One of the highest rates of people leaving their job is ministers. They're leaving. They're just saying, I don't need it anymore. I can't take it. And they leave. Or one of the higher suicide rates, again, is doctors and ministers and the police, because they're right in the middle of it all the time. And it's just, you know, if you're not careful, you got so many things to do with so many people to help. If you're not careful, you will burn yourself out. If you're a parent and you've got kids, if you're not careful, you will burn yourself out. Whatever it is, there's so many ways you can burn yourself out. Now watch this. Man is a trichotomy. Try saying that three times real fast. Man is a trichotomy. What does trichotomy mean? No, I'm not. I told one guy this. He says, why am I feeling so funny? I said, because you're a trichotomy. He says, no, I'm not. I'm a Baptist. A trichotomy. We are body, flesh, and spirit. You say we're made in the image of God? That's one of the ways we're made in the image of God. God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We are body, flesh, and spirit. Okay? Now, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll only feed one and neglect the other or others. Okay? We'll feed ourselves spiritually, but we won't take care of ourselves mentally or emotionally. Okay? Or physically. So if we don't take care of ourselves in one of those areas, watch this. Body, soul, and spirit. Body, flesh, or flesh, I can't even say it again. Body, soul, and spirit. If we're not careful, if we neglect one of them, it affects all three. Please listen carefully. People say, I don't understand. I'm reading my Bible. And I still feel like, ugh. Why? Because we're a body, soul, and spirit. Something I learned at Lee was called homeostasis. Homeostasis or homeostasis, however you want to say it, again, is when everything's in order. And spiritually, homeostasis is when the body, soul, and spirit are all being taken care of and all being fed. And so what happens is, again, we neglect one, not realizing it's tearing up the other two. You got to take care of yourself, body, soul, and spirit. You need at least, look, they say 8 hours of sleep. You know why you sleep? The greatest, stress, you're in fumes, watch this. You know, God gave us one of the greatest recoveries from stress. Listen carefully. One of the greatest antidotes to stress does not come from Walgreens, okay, a drugstore. One of the greatest antidotes for stress is called sleep. And recently they discovered that, you know, a lot of times guys can get by on 5 or 6 hours and women on 7 or 8. They've discovered lately that even 9 hours will be better because it helps your mind reset and it helps your body reset and it also helps you to, it calms down the stress in your life. So here you go, watch. Not taking care of my body, not sleeping. And so because I'm not sleeping, now my soul, the part that I think with and communicate with, is shut down. I'm not communicating with people. I'm even hating to be around people. My spirit, the part I communicate with God with, is getting weak. So it's so important that we take care of all, body, soul, and spirit. I remember when I first read this years ago, I said, what in the world has this got to do with anything? And now, at 60 years old, I'm going, this has got everything to do with it. The very first thing that he does to get rid of those fumes is, he tells him, sleep. That sounds spiritual, don't it? Sleep. Then, the angel wakes him up and says, eat. Huh? I thought I was a prophet, and I thought this was going to be a spiritual thing here. Yeah, you see what's happening? First, he recuperates. He sleeps. Then he re-energizes. He eats. But God says that's not enough. So he says, get you some more sleep. And so he recuperates more. And then after he recuperates, he re-energizes. He eats. This isn't food he brought with him either. Now watch this. Let's just take it even deeper. It was physical food, but at the same time, although it was physical food, it was spiritually made. So think about it this way. You need physical eating and you need spiritual eating. Okay? So he recuperates, he re-energizes, he recuperates, he re-energizes. Now, like I said, the first time I read that, I said, what's that got to do with spiritual? And now I realize it's got everything to do with spiritual. You see, God was restoring him physically, prepared him food, and gave him rest. But he was also propelling him or restoring him spiritually. Because now he says, the journey that's coming ahead, you thinking you're dying? No, you're not dying. You ain't seen nothing yet. Bachman Turner Overdrive didn't come up with that. God did. You ain't seen nothing yet. Dun, dun. Brother, you just ain't seen nothing yet. God says, watch this. Get up and eat some more. It was a long journey. So he got up and he ate and drank his fill and set out. Nourished by that meal, he walked 40 days and nights all the way to the mountain of God. Walked 40 days and nights. I'd have a problem walking 40 minutes. 40 days and nights. See, God knew what was coming. And so God got him ready. God, first off, the first time he eats and sleeps, is to restore him from what he'd been through. The second time he eats and sleeps is to prepare him for what he's going to. So again, here's God. He's taking care of your past and he's taking care of your future, and he does it all in your present. Wow. Took care of the past, took care of the future, did it all right then. So when he got up, he crawled. So he was nursed by the meal, what, 40 days and 40 nights, all the way to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And when he got there, he crawled into a cave and went to sleep. I'm pretty sure if I'd walk 40 days and 40 nights, I'd do more than, I wouldn't want to climb a mountain. And I guarantee you, I would be sleeping. Yeah. So watch this. The very first thing about getting your going beyond fumes, and this isn't my word, it's God's word, is fresh provision. You got to slow down sometimes. You got to learn that great old big four-letter word, N-O. Did you hear that? We act like it's a four-letter word because we can't say it. No. You have to learn how to say no, or you have to learn how to say wait, or you can watch this one. Here's a good one, and it's legitimate. Let me sleep on it. Because if you sleep on it, guess what you're getting? Recuperation. And why people say, let me sleep on it before you make a big decision? Because a lot of times we're trying to make big decisions while we're on fumes. And we're not thinking correctly, because remember, body, soul, and spirit. Your body is depleted, so that depletes your spirit and it depletes your soul. And so because it depletes it, you make some bad decisions. If you could have slept on it overnight and re-energized and recuperated and reset your brain, you'd come up with a better solution to your problem. So here we go. First, fresh provision. Then, fresh profession. I want to sit down on this one. This one. Don't throw anything at me now. Now, I'm not talking about what are you doing here. I hope you're in here trying to get something from God. That's not what I'm talking about. But I mean, what are you doing here is God said, what's got you so messed up inside? What's got you thinking, stinking? Well, what's going on? And God already knows. God weren't asking for an answer from him. God was wanting, and he already knew what his answer was going to be, but God wanted him to see what his answer was going to be. Do you know how much better you would be if you would talk things out amongst, even to yourself or to somebody before you talk, or before you let somebody else have it? Because in my head, I got it all figured out. Once it comes out of my mouth, I'm thinking, that didn't come out the way I thought it should. That didn't come out the way I rehearsed it. No, because you never put it out that mouth. You know, it's good to ask somebody, a trusted friend, let me tell you what I'm getting ready to say to such a kid. What does it sound like to you? Because remember, it may come out your mouth like a feather, but it may hit somebody else like a brick. Okay? So again, here it goes. God knew, get ready. He knew he needed to unload. Some of y'all in here right now, if you could look at yourself emotionally, if you could look at yourself in your memories and look at yourself, what you're carrying around, a lot of people are carrying a lot of guilt and they're carrying a lot of burden and they're carrying it on their shoulders. And although you might not see it, it's here. Although you might not feel it, it's here. And, you know, it's like Jacob Marley on Scrooge, Jacob Marley on A Christmas Carol. He walked around with those chains. And everywhere you went, you heard those chains dragging. And some of us right now, you're walking around and the chains are dragging. You got so much guilt built up inside, or you got so much pain built up inside, or you got so much pressure built up inside, and you're about to explode. And you go, I don't even know who to tell. I don't know what to do. I have no idea what's going on. One more thing, and I've lost it. And then somebody goes, hey, can you do this for me? And you go, sure. Oh, yeah. You got anything else you need me to do? Come on. And you're going, inside your head, you're going, really? Really? But on the outside, you're going, bring it on. Yeah, come on, we got more room. Yeah, right. You can't give us so many beans in a can of pork and beans. Okay, so here we go. He needed to unload. Let me show you the process of unloading. Some of y'all will feel better today if you'll get this in your head. Okay? But we have a part in Emmaus where we come in the room and we talk some things. I won't get into all of it, but there's a cross. And we come to the cross and we did something like we did at Easter. You nail things to the cross or you take the bread and put it in the basket at the foot of the cross. But it's during that time we come to ourself and we actually unload. And I have yet, not one time, all the Emmaus brothers and sisters here, especially those that's worked it more than once, will attest to this. I've yet to see it when it was dry. Every time, there's a cleansing that goes on in there. It's a very powerful cleansing. And when this cleansing takes place, when you come out, I guarantee you, everybody, including the ones working it, will be new people. Because you've got a chance to get some of this load off of you. So here it goes. How do you unload? Here's the progress. Watch this now. You gotta go to the proper person first. Don't go to the person you're having a problem with. Or what if I'm just having a problem, period? And I don't know who to go with it with. I don't know what to do. I just got this problem and I have no idea who to go to. It's not a specific person, it's just a problem. What do I do? Go to God, the proper person. And the proper way, the mount of God. Meaning, get yourself in a position where you can talk to Him. Remove the distractions out of the way. Talk to Him. Hezekiah, he was going to die. He faced the wall. Why did he face the wall? Because he wanted to get every other distraction out of the way so he could pray to God. The Jews, it said, go to your prayer closet. You know what the prayer closet was? It was not a physical location. They took their garment, which had tassels on it, these long garments, and they pulled it up and they carried it over their head when they were praying, and they pulled it down over top of them. That's the prayer closet. Okay? So you didn't see anything else around you. Why do we close our eyes when we pray? Because we don't need any distractions. The most embarrassed I ever got at asking for prayer requests was some guy, I knew a guy that always talked like Elmer Fudd. And he just got through telling me that he drove up here on his low boy. I said, how'd you get to church today? Because I knew he was having a car problem. He said, oh, I drove up here on my low boy. I ain't like Elmer Fudd. And I started laughing. I said, yeah, but how did you get here? He said, I got up here a different way. And so the person are asking for prayer requests, and the person in front of him is giving a very serious request. And he looks behind, he takes his head and puts it behind her, out of her way where I can see him. He goes, and so all of a sudden, I see him going, I drove here a low boy. And I went, and the lady's going, huh? I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. There's an idiot behind you. No, I didn't. That's what I was thinking. Okay. Okay, so here we go. Go to God, number one. Then find somebody to talk to, somebody you trust. This is what counselors are good for. Because a counselor, a lot of times, a counselor either will not have a dog in the hunt, you know, a pony in the race. You can talk to them. They're trained. They're skilled. They know how to actually de-escalate. And so they can de-escalate or they can help you to refume or get rid of the fumes. And so they can give you different exercises or help you see a different perspective. But you need to talk to God about it. Then you find somebody else that you can talk to. It's amazing how much better you'll feel when you learn to talk it out. Quit carrying it on the inside. If you don't have a counselor, maybe you got a friend. You got a good friend that you can talk to, and you tell that good friend what's going on. We're getting ready to close because I can't wait to have some baptisms going on here. It'll be awesome. Number three, a fresh perspective. God showed Elijah that he doesn't always communicate the same way? Has God ever talked to you one way and then a week later he talked to you another way and you say, well, that can't be God because you're not talking to him the same way? Well, watch this. 1 Kings 19:11. Then he was told, go up and stand on the mountain at attention before God. God will pass by. And a hurricane wind went ripped through the mountain and shattered the rocks before God, but God wasn't found in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a gentle, quiet whisper. When Elijah heard the quiet voice, he muffled his face with his great cloak and went to the mouth of the cave and stood there. And a quiet voice asked, so Elijah, tell me, what are you doing here? What's weighing you down so heavy? What's going on right now that's got you to where you're on fumes? What's got you running for your life and at the same time asking me to take your life? That doesn't even make any sense. What is it? Tell me. You can talk to me. I'm God. See, he showed that him, now watch this, he's showing that his perspective is wrong. Because now he tells me this, watch this. And Elijah said, I've been working my heart out for God, the God of the angel armies, because the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant, destroyed your places of worship, and murdered your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Wow. It scares me. Excuse me. It concerns me. Not scares me. I'm trying to quit saying that word in that way. It concerns me when somebody gets into, I'm the only one. There's only one person that can say it, and I'm fine with it. And that is the wonderful thing about Tiggers, is I'm the only one. If your name ain't Tigger, you ain't the only one. Smile. I was going to smile. I'm the only one. Everybody's done everything wrong, and now I'm the only one that's standing up for you, God. I'm the only one that's holy. I'm the only one that's doing anything for you. I'm the only one. When that happens, you've got the wrong perspective, and you will never get off the fumes until you learn to realize, here's what God did. Look. So, in verse 18, he says, meanwhile, I'm preserving for myself 7,000 souls, knees that have not bowed to the God Baal, mouths that have not kissed his image. He's saying, there's more people here than you think. There's a whole lot more than you think. You know, there's a silent majority now, and you're thinking that you're carrying this load and nobody's here to help. There's a lot of people here to help. There's a silent majority out there screaming silently for things to happen. And if somebody will stand, others will start standing with them. So realize also there's more for you to see. I'm getting ready to close. Matter of fact, DC, come up here and get ready to play something. He tells him in verse 15, he says, now go by the way you came through the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, make him king over Aram, and then anoint Jehu the son. See all these anointings. Anoint Nimshi, make him king over Israel. Finally, anoint Elijah, son of Japheth, from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes to death, leave 17 out. Okay. Watch this. Go take care of the kingdom work. Physical. Go ahead. Take care. Anoint these kings. And I want you to take care of my work. Spiritual. You got to go find your successor. Okay. And watch this. Did he die then? Nope. He lived 10 more years after he was already destined to die. Because God was not through with him yet. Some of y'all in here need to hear that you're running on fumes and think it's over. You're thinking God can't use you. You think it's all said and done, that you've done too much, you've been too far. And you're carrying that around with you. Every time God wants to use you and it seems like something good is going to come out of you that God can use, all you can think about is this other stuff and you're thinking, God can't use me. Or you're thinking, well, nobody's going to listen anyway. I'm the only one. If you got that nobody's going to listen anyway mentality, that means I'm the only one. Nobody's going to listen anyway. They're not going to do what you want anyway. They're all going to just keep on tearing things all to pieces. No, it's not. There's a lot of people. A lot of people out there. And you got to know that God is not through with you. Amen. In closing, listen to me carefully. What's going on in our major cities does not decide who you are. What's going on with this COVID-19 does not decide who you are. What's happening in our world right now does not decide who you are. It also does not decide if you're ever going to get back up. You see, I'm going to give you a little secret that you might not have understood. I hope you get it today and get it strong. You decide if you get back up. You decide. Nobody else. You decide if you get back up. Look at somebody and say, it's your decision. You decide if it's your last chapter. You don't have to be defined by your situation. On multiple occasions. I went in general population one time in A block. I went in general population. Benny was somewhere and Frank was somewhere and Brandon was somewhere. And I went in there. I was going in general population. I go in and normally I hear all kinds of junk going on and all kinds of cussing, all kinds of stuff. But everybody was huddled together. And everybody was quiet. And there was one person talking. And I said, I've never seen this ever. Ever. And so I walk over. And somebody goes, hey, preacher, we couldn't wait for you to get here tonight. And I saw what they were doing, and I heard the guy speaking, and I said, well, I'm just going to be quiet right now. I want to hear what's going on. And I sat down at the table, and as this guy talked, my heart burned. The more he talked, the more I burned. When he got through, somebody said, now it's your turn, preacher. And I said, okay, everybody bow your head. Lord, bless what we just heard. And let it stick. Amen. And I walked over to that man and said, man, that was absolutely off the hook. I've never heard any prisoner sound like this, ever. I've never heard anything like this in this place. And he goes, he holds his head down and goes, I'm sorry. You're sorry? Sorry for what? He said, I'm a minister. And he said, actually, I don't think God's ever going to use me again. I said, did you just see what happened? He said, but I'm stuck behind these walls. I'm stuck behind these bars. He said, God will never use me again. I said, dude, were you just watching what happened? He goes, I know, but I broke the law. I said, well, what did you do? Did you rob a bank? He said, no. He said, I thought I could get away with all these parking tickets. Speeding tickets. And he said, I got him up in Virginia. I thought North Carolina, I'd be fine. He said, and then they stopped me for another one. He said, when they stopped me for another one here in North Carolina, they pulled all the other ones with it. And he said, so I got a fancy ride to the police station. He says, that was so stupid. And he says, I just think God will never use me again. And I said, dude, stop it. You think God didn't use Paul after Paul was locked up? Silas? Luke? All the apostles that were locked up? Don't even go there. And then recently, I got called on the home wave, and one of the guys, prisoners, a new guy wants to talk to you. So the new guy wants to talk to me. He says, I really want to talk to you. I said, well, go ahead. He says, no, not, no, 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 no. By myself. I said, well, it's going to be kind of hard to do it by yourself because all these guys are around you. He said, can I call you Wednesday night when everybody's either watching TV or going to bed? I said, sure. And he called me and he started crying. And he said, I was a minister. And he said, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I walked away from God. And he says, now I'm in here. And he says, I honestly think God's even punishing me for walking away. He'll never use me again. And I told him the story of Elijah. And he cried as I told him about Elijah. Burnt out. Running on fumes. Walking away, ready to die, and how God used him for 10 more years. Some of y'all in here today, you're not at Pitt Detention Center, you're not at Central Prison, you're right here, right now, but inside you're locked down because you're on fumes. Remember, you gotta first get that fresh provision. You got to get some sleep. Take care of yourself. You got to get a fresh perspective and a fresh purpose. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today, nobody looking around, every eye closed. If you're here today and you know that things aren't right between you and God, you know it. You feel it. There's something blocking you. You've been running on fumes. Now you're going fast past broken fumes or off of fumes. You're broken this and even got some depression. And you're needing God to prop you up, to recuperate, to re-energize you. You know there's a disconnect between you and God. When nobody else is looking around, no eyes going anywhere, keep your head down. The very first part of this, remember, is knowing who to talk to. And the very first person is God. In the very beginning of talking to God is there's got to be some type of admission. So while nobody else was looking around, nobody's paying attention, would you just slip up that hand and say, there's a disconnect between me and God, and it's got to be fixed. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Maybe you're here today, and you're on fumes. Nobody even knows it. Only you. You can't say no. You just keep getting stuff stacked on you, on more and more and more. Which all that does is just make the anxiety level greater. And it shuts you down, causes performance anxiety. You're overloaded. You're having a hard time doing what you promised. You're having a hard time doing what's coming to you. You're having a hard time even doing the normal stuff. Because you're on fumes. I can't help you with taking care of yourself physically, but I can with the spiritual part. You can rise and eat today the manna if you trust Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. Would you say that's me? I'm on fumes and I need God to do something special today. I need it today. I might not even realize it till today, and now I know I need it. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Today is a very special day. Today's an awesome day. I actually, because I knew we were having a baptism afterwards, I was going to do something about salvation and about baptism, and I was just going to skip part three, and the Lord spoke to me very hard and said, don't you skip it. Don't skip it. It's needed. And I can promise you, today you may have come to visit the house of God, whether you're a regular person or not, whether it's a regular service for you or not, you came to visit God. But before you leave, you'll know that God visited you and something special took place. Let's pray together. Father, y'all say it out loud with me. Father, I thank you that you see me and my life. You see how far I've come and how far I've got to go. Help me to refresh and recuperate body, mind, and spirit. Help me to get a fresh perspective. And help me to continue the journey. And I trust you 100%. And Lord, I thank you for mending bridges between me and you and me and others. And I thank you that you are a safe place to come to when I need to unload. And Father, help me find someone that I can trust, that I can unload to also. Because I know you've got a remedy. And we just heard it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. God is so good. All the time. Y'all are looking good. You know that? Well, most of you. No, y'all are all looking good. You really are. We're getting ready to have a baptism service. It'll be in a few minutes. So if you want to stay for that, you can. If you want to leave, that's fine too. Either way, it's fine. Nobody will be offended either way. So you do what you got to do. Because Sierra's got to go to work soon after this too. So Sierra's going to be baptized. If anybody else wants to be baptized, come see me sometime. Okay? Just come see me. We can do this. I've got more guys in B5. We don't even have a baptistry there. There's guys in the prison wanting to get baptized. I just sit them in a chair and put their head back and put a bucket behind their head, and I just take a glass of water and I pour it on their head. It's awesome. So we got all kinds of ways, but look, I'm not going to come over here and put the bucket behind your head up here and pour it on you. No, you got to come up here. All right, ready? Tuesday night, please come. We're going to get even deeper into this on Tuesday nights. Our hearts and minds clear? Brother Steve, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?